like yours and faith that we can do. That's my desire, to lift up holy hands, your will to understand, to move at your command. That's my like this, to have a heart that's full of miracles just like yours, and you say that will endure. Oh, that's my desire. Let's go, Lord, lay hands on your will.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 precious Lord. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, take me by the hand and lead me on. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Oh, keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, take me by the hand and lead me on. Oh, yes, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Well, take me by the hand and lead me on. Oh, yes, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Oh, keep showing me the way. Oh, Lord, I want to go. Keep showing me the way. Well, take me by the hand and lead me on.
Asking for volunteers. I want to go. You know, I want him to show me the way. One of the Jesus disciples asked him, "Lord, how do we go, or what? How do we go? We don't know the way." And I think the Lord can show us the way. I want to have in my heart, my desire, is to walk with the Lord, to learn about Him. Jesus said, "Learn of me." He said, "My yoke is easy. My burdens are light. Learn of me." So that's what part of our endeavor here is, to learn about Jesus, to learn about His ways. The Bible talks about God, and it said His ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. So we're getting more acquainted with the Lord, with Jesus, and find out some of the things that His thoughts. And we were singing that song about, I think it's My Desire, we was thinking the other day, Brother Smith was talking about God's will and our will, and we're endeavoring. Jesus came not to do His own will, but the will of His Father that sent Him. And we're inquiring about all these things, and we're trying to learn how to do God's will. We know that everything that's going on in this world is not God's will. So we have to try to sift through all the things that's going on and see where God is in all of this. God rule in the kingdom of men, so we want to find God in what's going on. We want to see God, be able to see God's hand in the land, see Him working. And sometimes that's hard to see. That's why we have a ministry to help us, to show us and help us to be able to open, enlighten our eyes to where we can see what God is doing. It's lots going on, but everything is not what God, is not God. And God said, in the scripture said that God made man, but He sought out many inventions. So the other thing going on here is just man working. God has allowed man a space of time to work. But you know what? God is going to, He's going to be seen in this world. And He's going to be seen in a people that have given their lives to Him, that have allowed God to do something in their life, to be a light. Jesus said we are to be a light in this dark world we're living in. We're to be a light where the gospel have done something in our life to where we can shine forth, to be a light in this world. And that's part of our endeavor. We're trying to get God's gospel in our life to where it'll shine forth. It will it be magnified in us. One of my logging at work is, sometimes we use passwords, sometimes we use phrases. And one of my uses is, "Magnify the Lord with me." We're to magnify God in this world, because when you begin to realize that, we was born a man, and we're men born a woman, but the nature we were born of, this natural nature, we're not going to be able to please God just living naturally in this world. I thank God for all the natural things He's provided for us, all that He gives us. I was reading something where it said life is just a daily gift from God. That's the way I want to look at it. It's God's gift to us, life. And I want to look at it that way. So we are people that, and a lot of it, when you begin to recognize God in this world and recognize what God is doing in your life and be able to give Him glory. Just the fact that we're living is a gift of God. Just a daily gift, living from God. We didn't bring ourselves in this world, and we're not really keeping ourselves. We want to be kept by the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're trying to be kept by the Lord. We want God's hand to keep us in this world. We know if His hand is on us, we know if He's giving us strength, and if He's giving us the substance that we need to live by, then we know we'll be all right. If we're living on his substance that he gives us, we're not living on this, just the world. You know, when Jesus was in this world, he made some statements, you know, like, you know, his meat is not of this world. You know, he wasn't being provided, you know, he was being provided for, but it wasn't just the natural thing that was keeping him. He knew, and that's what he was pointing out. You know, his meat is not of this world, and that's not what's sustaining him. And that's what our substance, you know, what's going to be sustaining us. We want it to be something not of this world, you know, something from the Lord. We want his word, his spirit, his life, you know, that he gives to sustain us, to keep us. And if we live by that, if those are the things that we live by, then we can live in this world. We can survive in this world. The things that, you know, it's almost like an onslaught, the things that's going on in this world. You know, it seems like some things, they said pandemic and some and epidemics and all these different things that's going on in this world, it could really make you wonder, you know. But we have a God that we serve that knows all about it, and we can talk to him. You know, we can call up on him, and we can make it personal. You know, Jesus talked to his disciples, and he asked them questions. He said, who do men say that I am? You know, they would say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elisha, or one of the prophets. But then he made it more, he got personal with them. He said, well, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter told him, you know, that you are the Son of God. You know, Peter had that revelation. He told him that flesh and blood did not reveal that to him, but it was by the Spirit of God. So that's what we got to have in our life. You know, we have to get personal with the Lord. Who do I say he is? What does he mean to me? You know, I know what Brother Smith says about him, but what does he mean to me? You know, I want to make it personal, and that's what we have to do in this world to be able to get through it. You know, we have to have that personal relationship with the Lord. We have to, you know, invite him in our hearts, you know. I appreciate what he's done for you. I appreciate what your testimony. And I love to hear good things what God has done for his people. I love that. But, you know, he had to do something for each one of us. We all have to have a relationship with the Lord. So we need to pray. I want to recognize our visitors. I don't know if I have all of the information, but I got Peggy Hill is a guest of Society Ed Watson. She's right here. Good to have her today. God bless you. Bless you. And then I think her name is Loretta Moreland. Is that right, Loretta Moreland? She's back there with my wife is sitting. And she's, matter of fact, she worked in the same, I don't know about the same department, but they work same store. She invited her. So anyway, it's good to have her today. And she's looking for a church home. So maybe she we are available. So anyway, pray for her and hope that she'll enjoy the service today. And then I got a Ronnie Marshall. Worked for Brother Tyrone. Good to have him today. God bless you. I'm sure he's told him something about the church. Brother Ronnie, hope you feel the Spirit of God here while you're visiting today. Hope this is not your last visit. But you feel something from the Lord. We like for people to feel at home. This is God's house. We like for them to feel at home. Like to God to... you know, if you ever go visit somebody, and sometimes, you know, you feel the welcome. You know, you can go and see a welcome mat on the front of the door saying welcome. But sometimes you don't have to have a welcome mat. You can feel it. You can feel the welcome from the people there. So that's what we want you to do. We want to feel the welcome. All of you, feel the welcome from the Lord. Yes. Yeah.
Brittany's father. Johanna.
Brittany's father, Mark
Henderson,
all right, and his wife?
Johanna.
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 Johanna. Yeah. Johanna, good to see y'all. God bless you. I guess we didn't get the card. But anyway, good to have y'all. God bless you. Hope you're feeling it.
Also,
hope you feel God.
Sister Yvonne York's finally a resident.
Yes,
of Little Rock, Arkansas. And I thought I saw, didn't I see Vivian?
Vivian is here.
Where you at, Vivian? Stand up for us. Is she here?
Yeah. There she is.
There she is over there.
All right.
She just wanted to make sure her grandma settled in the first weekend.
Yeah. Good, Vivian. Take care of your grandma. Good. Anyway, God is good to us. All right. Did I get all those visitors? And then let's pray today for God's people. We know there are needs. Brother Stewart. Feeling bad. All right. All right. Let's remember Brother Daniel. Pray for him. Of course, our regular prayer list we have. But I know there's lots of... Sister Jackie Tucker. Okay, remember her. She would like to be here. I pray for her. Sister Ratliff. Sister Riley's family, so remember them. Sister Abraham. Okay. Pray for Sister Abraham's family, her daughter, and Jonathan. Remember him, Sister Angie. Okay. Your brother Sean. Okay, let's pray for him. God will help him. Okay. All right, Sister Brian. Sister Lou Fulton. Okay. Remember Sister Lou Fulton today? Sister Lynette. Ellen Stewart, right? All right. Remember her, all right? Brother Keith. All right. Remember Brother Keith. He's recovering. He's improving. Sister Abraham.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember those requests? All right, Sister... Yes, remember Brother Weiniger, pray for him. He seemed to be doing good, but you know, we could probably tell you something more about it. But yes, remember Brother Weiniger, pray for him. Sister Lacey. Yes, okay, remember Sister Wilson, pray for her, Sister Ann. Brother Paul Thompson and Sister Ann Thompson. Remember them? All right. Sister. Interview? Okay. All right. Remember Sister Rachel. Rachel, right? Did I get that right? All right, Sister Abraham. Who was that? Oh, yeah, Matt and Reaver. They out of town, so remember them. Pray for them. Okay, brothers. Gene and his
had
Mark.
A family reunion.
Glenwood today. Good. Very good. And I'm thinking about Brother Boyd.
Brother Boyd's back in Missouri. Pray for them. They've made an offer on a home they're negotiating on.
Here?
Yes, here. And also pray for our youth meeting.
Yes.
Might want to announce that it's the 29th, 30th, and 30th of this month. 30th, 31st, and 1st. Okay.
The youth meeting.
Youth meeting starts Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday.
Right.
July this month.
July the 30th. 31st and the 1st of August.
Yes.
And I know everybody that can keep somebody planning on keeping about. I haven't heard from any. I hadn't got any information for the beds and all, but of course I hadn't got a lot of calls either, so I don't know. But anyway, if you're planning to keep somebody, I think Mr. Smith mentioned that they were going to get a list together. Okay.
Well, I have not told them. We'll tell them now to bring that information to you. And
okay.
People need to bring it to you, not to me, because I'll forget.
Okay, well, okay. We do need to know, you know, if you plan on keeping people to be, you know, let us know so we can, like I said, the calls are not coming in, but a lot of people wait a lot of times to the last minute and start calling. So,
also, Brother Tally, we need to mention here, everyone that has been in charge of different tasks during the youth meetings in the past, we need you to let us know of the areas that we are short-handed and need more help in. And I'll let you give you a little heads up, you might say, that we are going to need more help. We're going to need more laborers for this youth meeting. So, for example, Brother Painter has always took care of the parking, and he will not be able to do that this year because he'll be taking care of he'll be in charge of the booth and the recording and everything, and so the audio-video booth. And so we're going to need someone. Brother Fisher's helped him, I know, in the past. We may need him to take charge of that. But we're going to need some volunteers, so please be praying on that, whether or not you can be here to help us during the youth meeting. As you well know, this building will be overcrowded, and many of the churches from all this regional area and even the whole general body will be here, so it'll be a big meeting, and we're going to need laborers.
Very good. All right. Any other prayer requests? Sister Rana. Okay. Just keep remembering, Sister Rana. Pray. Hold her up before the Lord. Pray that God will keep giving her strength. These different ones we mentioned already, but that's Brother David Hutchison had a spat, but he said he's better. But keep remembering him because they're not real sure what happened to him. So keep praying, you know, that God will help his people. Like Sister Lynette said, that people. Sister Stewart, she was talking about, but people expecting something, you know, they're wanting, they have a lot of faith in God and his people praying, you know, that people that are praying. I just, there's something about, God didn't have to just let that happen, but I mean, he allowing. To me, it shows a care and a concern in the hearts of people. When you begin to pray for someone else, you know, that have problem, you know, we're not in this alone, and God worked that way. You know, he worked by you being concerned by somebody else. You know, I know I have problem. I know everybody got problem. So if I'm just concerned about my problem, God may not help me as much if I was trying to help somebody else. Then he will help me. You know, if I'm reaching out to someone else to help them, then God can help me. That's the way God work. I mean, it's, and you know, it's a couple of scriptures, Proverbs talk about, you know, if you, your increase come because of you're giving, you know, giving out, and you're increasing all the time. I mean, it's not like a, not the way, that's not the way the world does it, you know. The world have you bringing it to yourself. But God have you giving out. And when you give out, then God bless you. Isn't that something? You know? It talks about your covers never being empty. You believe that? I mean, if you're always doing something, always giving out to someone, you never go, you know, you're like that barrel of oil that the Shulamite woman, with the Shulamite woman, the oil and the meal never ran out. And I believe that's the way it is with God. You know, he wants us to have that attitude to want to bless someone else, help somebody else, and in turn, you know, you get blessed. Not that that's what you just your motive is so much, but that's just the way it works. You know, that's where it worked with God. You know, when you begin to reach out, you know, give out, and like he said, your blessings will be overflowing, running over. You know, you can't contain it all. So anyway, let's remember these needs today and begin to stand and call on the Lord. The ushers come forward. So let's pray that God will help his people today and remember all of these needs. Lord, we thank you this day, oh Lord, that you've given us. Lord, we want to lift up our voices. Lord, we want to call upon you, knowing that you can help our every need. Lord, we thank you. Oh God, for your goodness. Oh Lord, we thank you for what you've done for each one of us, Lord. Lord, help you. Help our needs. Help your people, Lord. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Precious Savior. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your people, Lord. Lord, each need, each request, Lord. Lord, help each one. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Y'all are quiet for such a rowdy group. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. And appreciate the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, coming in here and meeting with us. Wouldn't be much without him, would we? Someone lost her all-purpose facility. What do you call it? Swiss Army knife. There we go, Brother Keith Jr. All right. Appreciate the Lord today and his goodness to us. I had a thought that I wanted to say something on here about, and I've said something on it before, but I thought I might cover some parts of it again. There's a scripture in Proverbs in the 16th chapter. It's another scripture I'm thinking of too. This one says that a just balance is the Lord's. Yes, a just weight and balance, 11th verse, are the Lord's. And it says, all the works of the bag are his work. And then back in the 11th chapter, I remember reading that and thinking that all the weights in the bag are God's. But we need to learn how to bring them to a balance. Men get things out of balance, even God's word. To be able to bring God's righteousness to a proper balance, and to have a proper balance in our lives of and that's called temperance or moderation, to be tempered in the things of God, to be temperate in all things, the Bible says. In the 11th chapter of Proverbs, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. I'd like to be just. I'd like to have a just weight, a just balance in my life and in every area. The more you serve God, the more desire you have for the things of God and God's righteousness and truth and holiness and then the more you understand about God's working, if you look in Matthew, the 5th chapter, when Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount, by the way, those of you that are visitors, and you may wonder, what time is this thing over? We generally get out around 1. We have figured out a way to beat the system. You see, everybody in the church world gets out around 12:15 or so, and they all go eat. And there's no, you have to fight traffic, stand in long lines. So we just go past that and let all the traffic and all the crowds wean down. And if you're going out to restaurants, well, by that time they're putting on fresh food. Of course, we've even figured out a way to beat that. We have dinner here. And then we come back at 5 o'clock this evening and have our evening service. So we get out early in the evening and just try to make it a day of serving the Lord. But our children get home in time to be fresh for school, and those that have to work early, get up and go to work early, they still have time for that. Anyway, I'm making sort of an excuse of how we do things. It's subject to change any time. We'll have to make up new excuses or why we did that. But anyway, just to let you know that, so you won't be wondering. But we want you all to know that we welcome you, and if you know, we want you to relax and hopefully enjoy the service, and then we want you to come back. Try us several times. You can't hardly tell much about a church in just one visit. Of course, if it's cold and nobody says hi or friendly with you, and you feel like you was treated like a, you know, somebody who wasn't wanted, well, I wouldn't encourage you to go back to a place like that. And I hope that doesn't happen to you here. But we want to welcome you. We want to open our doors to you. And we want you to come and be a part and labor here with us. You know, when Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness, God told him that he would give him willing, those that were willing hearts, people who had a willing heart to give, sacrifice, and work willingly. And every one of us in the kingdom of heaven are to have a willingness to serve God and his work, his labor, his kingdom. This local work here is a work of God, and we need laborers. Jesus said, the work is great, but the laborers are few. So, and God will put it in your heart. And every one of you have talents. You look at how God did that back in the day of Moses and the children of Israel. Well, there were people that were singers. If you've got a voice to sing, well, we want you to sing here, not just with the congregation, but we have choirs here, we've got youth groups that sings, we've got individuals, quartets. We'll make room for you some way. We want you to try to be led by the Spirit, but if you have a gift in that area, we want it to be used. We want you to labor there. Then, of course, he had ministers. We've got more than one minister in this church. There's men of God here that are capable of ministering the Word of God, and there's room made for them. And I enjoy every man that ministers and deals with the Word of God here and helps feed this flock. And then there's laborers in music. There's people that they don't sing, but they play instruments. Aren't we glad for the band? Doesn't that add something to the church and the services? I appreciate that. I appreciate Brother McGowan's worked and labored in the, with the band and been a band leader for many years. Brother Talley's helped in those areas and worked in this church in that area. And Brother Michael Smith here, he's been a band leader for over 20 years in the body. And then these band members that are playing instruments and helping us lift a service. That's part of it. It's been part of God's work in the earth among his people. Worshiping God and song, it does something to get our hearts prepared to receive the things of God, to begin to sing, and music God has used that. God ordained that. And so, and then there's laborers just in the natural area. Some of you may not be aware of. Somebody cleaned this church. Somebody cleaned the bathroom, hopefully. Hope there's not anything that needs cleaned here today. But there's people, men working in the audio-video booth up there. And there's laborers of all sorts here that there's a place to work here. Visit people. Witness to people. Invite people to church. There's workers down in the kitchen, and there's Sunday school teachers. There's plenty of places to work. Don't get to feeling like you don't have anywhere to work, or don't feel like anybody's work trying to take your job. There's more jobs than there is people here to take care of jobs. So, well, if you don't have anything to do, come talk to me. I'll help you. I can show you lots of things you can do. And I'll give you some of my jobs. I'm willing to give up some of them. Anyway, then there's prayer warriors. There's people that God puts it on their heart to pray. And they're burdened for things. And they intercede. They're intercessors in prayer. They have time. God uses people in those areas. So begin to ask God, God, what's my calling? What do you want me to do? I want to be productive. I want to be profitable to you and a laborer in your kingdom. And begin to ask God, because every one of your members in particular, and every one of you have a talent. And you're not to bear it in the earth, but you're to learn how to multiply your talents and use them for God. And so you all have a calling in particular. You're all members in particular, and you're all to have a willing heart to work and labor and build the kingdom of God. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, it's Jesus starts off saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." For he said, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And you might notice as you read these that there's an order to this. His next mention is "Blessed are they that mourn, for they'll be comforted." Well, you won't, until you get poor in spirit, until you're humble enough, you won't mourn very much. You won't have very much. You won't carry much of a burden. You won't be burdened with the things of God. And also this works in an order of, Brother Liniger gave us these things: faith, humility, then the fear of God, and then honor, and then charity. That's an order of God's progressive work in your life. You first have to get humble. To come to God, it takes faith. And Jesus didn't start off with faith here because he was talking to the faithful. He was talking to those that already had accepted him and accepted he as the Savior of the world. They had faith. They believed in him. But he began to show them the process that God was working in their lives. First, poor in spirit, humility, to become humble. God gives grace to the humble, give me the rest of that scripture in James where he said God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Pride has to do with just our selfish, our self's ego, I was thinking today some when I was praying up here for some of these young people. I thought God helped them at a young age to follow the path of humility and lowliness, and to find themselves and not have to go the way of this world in being conform to the world, but help them to be transformed, Lord. Don't let the world work in their hearts and in their lives. But help them to be poor in spirit. You have to first humble down. Somebody has to preach a message that causes humility to work in your life. Some conviction about sin that you begin to humble down and before God and recognize God and feel God's His greatness and your need for Him before you'll actually repent and get mournful. You have to finally get to a place that you begin to cry out to God. And even this, the spirit of repentance, or that the operation of repentance, is a continual work that works in us. You can't get it all done at your first trip at an altar. You just won't get it all accomplished. You'll get all your past sins. God knows and He understands you and I. He understands you. You don't have to think of every little wrong thing you've done. God looks on your heart and He knows if you've got a repentant heart, if you've humbled yourself before Him because He's dealt with you. First, you need to know that Jesus said, "No man comes to me except my Father draws him." God has to be dealing with you. God has to find a way to reach you. And God wants to save every person. He's looking to save every person. And He longs to save you. But He has to have a way to touch you, reach you. His Spirit has got to touch your life. Faith's got some way, has got to rise in your heart. And there has to be enough of the Spirit of God touch you to feel His wooing, His dealing with you. Many years ago, I wish we still had this in America, but we don't have it on the same scale. But years ago, when God was dealing with America, and He had much more, there was much more fear of God in this land than there is today. Our leaders are beginning to deny that this is even a Christian nation. That's sad. That's sad that it takes place in America, that our president would tell other nations that we're not a Judeo-Christian nation any longer. But we are. This nation was built on Christian precepts and righteous principles. Our forefathers built and formed the laws and our constitution of this nation on, and we're celebrating this weekend the liberty that God gave this nation and our forefathers to come to this land. And finally, we're gained an independence as a nation under God, one nation under God, and got freedom from the final battle with the British, and finally gained their independence as a nation. I believe with all my heart God did that. I believe God moved upon men and women to come to this nation for the purpose of restoring the church, for the purpose of the gospel being restored and the church being reformed to the place that a church like you read about in the New Testament could finally exist in the end of the Gentile world, that God could harvest and gather His people together, and out of this a remnant that would finish making up the bride of Jesus Christ that would rule and reign for the next 1,000 years, called the millennium, that finally the whole world, I know, I don't think, or I'm not in doubt about it, that God purposed the United States of America to be a place where His gospel could be, where people could worship Him with a liberty and a freedom. And God's protected this nation But I see this nation in trouble with God. But God he's holding back the winds of politics, the winds of military forces, the winds of finance, and the winds of religion from destroying this nation until he gathers his bride together. This nation will go down according to prophecy in the Bible, and 10 kings will rise up. A beast system, a dragon power will rule this world before the end of the world.